Good morning. Welcome to Memorial Day weekend. I want to thank all of our current and former servicemen and women for your service to our country and encourage all of us to take a moment this weekend to remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country, our freedom, and our liberties. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. I hope you will take the opportunity to remember this weekend all those who laid their lives down for their friends and for their countrymen. We'll go and turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Romans, where we'll be looking at chapter 7. This morning I want to wrap up our Stronger series and talk about where we find the ultimate power source for the road ahead. All of the passages we've looked at over the last several weeks have spoken to me. Each one of them has given me hope and power to get through this time of quarantine. But this morning I want us to not only see another verse or passage to help, but I want us to see the very source of our strength. In chapters 6 and 7 of the book of Romans, we find Paul talking about the law and its effects on us who are striving to be Christ followers. He confirms for us that the law given by God to Moses and the Israelites, and thus to us as believers in God, is a good and holy thing in and of itself. He then tells us what the law does. Now, most of us don't necessarily think about the Ten Commandments doing much other than telling us what to do or something not to do. But Paul tells us it does a couple other things as well. First, it reveals sin in our lives. Look at verse 7. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "Do not covet." Secondly, once we've been made aware that something we are doing in our lives is a sin, there's something aroused in us that makes us desire that sinful thing even more. It's like it tries to take over our thoughts and our actions. Sometimes, whatever that thing is, whether it be lust, the love of money, or some kind of substance addiction, becomes all that we can think about. Look at Paul's words there in verses 8 and 11, where he says, "But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire." And in verse 11, "For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me." But then Paul shows us that the problem is not really with the law. The problem is with my sinful nature. And for most of us, the battle we fight daily with the sinful nature within us is exhausting. We battle and we fight against it, and it begins wearing us down, and before we know it, we not only give in to it, but we end up not having the same passion we once did to fight it the next time we're tempted with it. The sequence is almost always the same. Countless seasons of renewed expectations where we just know we're going to conquer that sin in our lives this time. And that turns into a growing disappointment in ourselves, and finally, exhaustion. We end up asking ourselves, "What's wrong with me? Why do I always give in to it? What can I learn? What can I change?" Well, here in Romans 7, we find out that Paul can relate. Look at Paul's words there in verses 15 to 20 of chapter 7. He says, "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, The evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it." Here we see Paul basically saying the same thing we say to ourselves when we fall into sin. Why do I keep doing this? What is wrong with me? Paul admits that living the victorious Christian life even eluded him at times. You know, I think all of us would have to admit that we spend way too much time trying to be godly in our own strength. We often think of the Bible as a list of action steps. If I can just get my daily quiet time and my prayer in today, I'll be one step closer to what God wants me to be. If I just don't commit that one sin here today, if I'm patient with people, if I'm a loving person here today, we have all these things that we're trying to keep up, like a juggler trying to keep the act going, but knowing that at some point, it's all going to come crashing down. Paul made the choice to be done with all of the posing and doing everything he can do to look like a great Christian. And he just admits, "I can't do it in my own strength. The sinful nature living in me is just too strong for me to fight off sometimes." And in verses 21 to 23, he comes to this conclusion. "So I find this law at work," he says. "When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members." Paul helps us to see that even when we desire with all of our hearts to please God, our sinful nature is always going to be there. And if we're not careful, we will find ourselves right where Paul finds himself in this battle, where in verse 24, he finally cries out, "What a wretched man I am." And it's at this point where Paul and we find ourselves at a fork in the road. Do we continue to go down the road of wretchedness, where we throw our hands up and say, "I quit. I don't want anything to do with this anymore because I'm not going to win anyway"? Or do we finally come to the realization and just admit that we cannot do it on our own? Just as we cannot come to Christ until we have come to the end of ourselves, we cannot experience the power to change until we are done with trying to do it on our own efforts. That is what Paul does here when he confesses what a wretched man he is. I read a great illustration about this earlier this week. The Chinese Christian Watchman Nee tells the story of his stay in China with 20 other Christians. The bathing accommodations were inadequate in the home they were staying at, and so they went for a daily dip in the river. And on one occasion, one of the men got a cramp in his leg and began sinking fast. Mr. Nee summoned one of the other men, who was an excellent swimmer, about the drowning man. To his astonishment, however, the man did not move. He just stood there and watched the man drowning. Mr. Nee was agitated, obviously, but the swimmer was calm and collected. Meanwhile, the voice of the drowning man grew fainter and more desperate. As the drowning man went under for what looked like the last time, the swimmer was there in a moment, and both of them were soon safely on the shore. After the rescue, Mr. Nee chewed out the swimmer, accusing him of loving his life too much and being selfish. The response of the swimmer revealed, however, he knew what he was doing. He told Watchman that if he had gone in too soon, the drowning man would have put a death grip on him and they would have both drowned in the river. and he was right. He told Mr. Nee that a drowning man cannot be saved until he is utterly exhausted and ceases to make the slightest effort to save himself. It's the same thing with our strivings to live the perfect Christian life. When we stop trying to save ourselves, it's then that the Lord can step in and save us when we yield to Him. What could be more wretched than exerting all your energy to try to live a good life, only to discover that the best you do is still not good enough? Paul was done with trying to live the perfect Christian life. But as we see, he does not go down any further that road of self-loathing and self-pity. Instead, he asks a question and then answers his own question. Look at the second half of verse 24 and then 25 with me. He asks, "Who will rescue me from this body of death?" And then he answers his own question. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." The answer is Christ. How do we live the Christian life? How do we live in such a way as to glorify God and not get stuck in a pattern of sin that drives us to desperation? It's the same way we came to salvation in the first place, through Christ alone. Our only hope is to get out of His way and let Him live His life through us. And once we do that, Romans 8:1 becomes the sweetest words we can ever hear. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Are you in Christ Jesus this morning? Have you come to the end of yourself? Are you done with trying to prove yourself and relying on your own strength and actions to find peace with God? Let me encourage you to stop struggling to stay afloat and lean into the arms of the Savior who wants to carry you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you that, to be very honest with you, it kind of takes the pressure off. We know we can't do it on our own. We know we can't live the type of life that brings us peace with you on our own strength. We just can't do it. It's not humanly possible. And so we thank you for the grace through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we receive when we accept Him as our Savior, as our Lord. We thank you for the grace that comes with that to live the life you want us to live. To know that sometimes we're going to hose it up, that we're not going to make it, and that we're going to give in, and sometimes that sinful nature within us is going to win. We don't strive for that, obviously, but we know because of the grace given to us from you through your Son, Jesus, we have forgiveness, and thus we can rest in your arms. Heavenly Father, I pray that if there's one out there this morning who hasn't yet experienced that grace, who hasn't yet experienced that peace in their lives, which comes through a relationship with you through your Son, I pray today would be the day that they would pray with me right there where they're at this morning, right in their homes, wherever they happen to be, that they would pray, "I know that I am a sinner. I know that I have messed it up many, many times. But Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and that I put myself in your arms today. I accept and believe that you are the Son of God, that you came to this earth, lived that perfect sinless life, died on a cross for my sins, and was rose again 3 days later. I believe that, and because of my belief in that, I ask you now, King Jesus, to come and to live in me, to do the cleaning, to do the changing that needs to be done within me. I surrender it all to you, and I give it all to you. these things in your name.